Text 29. Maitreya uvacha. Iti tasya vacha sudva. Jayaste vibhudashava. Pratyahu slakshnaya vacha. Prahasya tamrishim prabho. Iti tasya vacha sudva. Jayaste vibhudashava. Pratyahu slakshnaya vacha. Prahasya tamrishim prabho. Translation by His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This is Canto 4, Chapter 1, Text 29. Spoken at the North Sydney ISKCON Temple. What day is it today? 27th of May, 2008, 522 Gaurabda, at the Radha Gopinath Temple. Translation, the great sage Maitreya continued, upon hearing Atri Muni speak in that way, the three great deities smiled and they replied in the following sweet words. Text 30, Deva Uchu, Yatha Kritaste Sankalpo, Bhavyam Tenaiva Nan Yatha, Sat Sankalpasyate Brahman, Yadvai Dhyayati Te Vayam. The three deities told Atri Muni, Dear Brahmana, you are perfect in your determination, and therefore as you have decided, so it will happen. It will not happen otherwise. We are all the same person upon whom you were meditating, and therefore we have all come to you. Purport. Atri Muni specifically thought of the supreme, of the personality of Godhead, the Lord of the universe. Although he had no clear idea of the Lord of the universe nor of his specific form, Mahavishnu from his breathing millions of universes emanate and into whom they are again withdrawn, may be accepted as the Lord of the universe. Garbhodakshayi Vishnu from whose abdomen sprouted the lotus flower which is the birthplace of Brahma, may also be considered the Lord of the universe. Similarly, Kshirodakshayi Vishnu, who is the super soul of all living entities, may also be considered the Lord of the universe. Then under the order of Kshirodakshayi Vishnu, the Vishnu form within this universe, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva may also be accepted as the Lords of the universe. Vishnu is the Lord of the universe because he is its maintainer. Similarly, Brahma creates the different planetary systems and the population, so he may also may be considered Lord of the universe. Or Lord Shiva, who is ultimately the destroyer of the universe, also may be considered its Lord. Therefore, since Atri Muni did not specifically mention whom he wanted, all three, Brahma, Vishnu, and Lord Shiva, came before him. They said, since you are thinking of having a son exactly like the Supreme Personality, the Lord of the universe, your determination will be fulfilled. In other words, one's determination is fulfilled according to the strength of one's devotion. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 9.25, Yanti Deva Vrata Devan Pitrin Yanti Pitri Vrataha. If one is attached to a particular demigod, he is promoted to the abode of that demigod. If one is attached to the Pitas or the forefathers, one is promoted to their planet. And similarly, if one is attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, one is promoted to the abode of Lord Krishna. Atri Muni had no clear conception of the Lord of the universe. Therefore, the three presiding deities who are actually the Lords of the universe in the three departments of the modes of nature all came before him. Now, according to the strength of his determination for a son, his desire would be fulfilled by the grace of the Lord. Text 31, Atasmat amsabhutaste atmaja loka visrutaha bhavitaronga bhadramte visrapsyanti chate yasa. You will have sons who will represent a partial manifestation of our potency. And because we desire all good fortune for you, those sons will glorify your reputation throughout the world. Evam kama varam datva prati jagmu sureshwaraha savajitas tayo samyag dampatyor mishatostata. Thus, while the couple looked on, the three deities Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwar disappeared from that place after bestowing upon Atri Muni the benediction. Somo bud brahmanong sena dato vishnus tu yogavit durvasa sankharasyangso nibodangi rasa prajaha. Thereafter, from the partial representation of Brahma, the moon god was born of them. From the partial representation of Vishnu, the great mystic Dattatreya was born. And from the partial representation of Shankara, Lord Shiva, Durvasa was born. Now you may hear from me of the many sons of Angira. Then it goes to Angira. So this up to that means today is 29, 30, 31, 32, and 33 of chapter 1, canto 4, Srimad Bhagavatam, in the chapter entitled Genealogical Table of the Daughters of Manu. Srimad Bhagavatam, translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. So this is a very interesting pastime where Atri Muni, a great transcendentalist who was meditating and doing tapasyas and austerities in order to get a spiritual son that was representing the Lord of the universe. He didn't exactly know who the Lord of the universe was. Like we may pray Lord of the universe as Jagannath. And we know that he's Krishna. But he was praying Lord of the universe just like sometimes you go into a Hindu's puja room and they have every deity that you can imagine. I mean, at least 25 sometimes. They have Shiva, they have Durga, they have Ganesh, they have Vishnu, they have Ram, they have Krishna, they have... There's so many different deities and not necessarily organized in any particular... And then you ask, why do you have so many deities? Well, I don't know which is the supreme, so I'm bound to hit one right. So they worship all of them. One Brahmin in Bangalore, he became a life member, but then he didn't read the books that we gave him. But one day he picked up the book and started reading, and then he was amazed. He said, you know, I know the Sri Sukta, the Lakshmi mantra, I know the Shiva mantra, I know the Vishnu mantra, I know all these mantras, but I never knew actually who is supreme. But by reading Prabhupada's books, then it became clear to me that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Vishnu is his direct, non-different expansion. And his name happened to be like Krishna. But he still didn't know who was Krishna Swami. Very nice. Now he's nice to his whole family. He's chanting some. So this is a common thing. I was thinking that, you know, for the other non-Hindu religions or non-Vedic religions, sometimes they don't have a clear concept of what is they pray, oh God, the Creator, have your mercy on me. The Creator, then they're praying to Brahma or also to Mahavishnu or this. But so they also, like Atri was in this situation, he didn't exactly know who was the Supreme. But there are many people like that, pray to the Supreme Lord, but they don't have a clear conception. So some they say, well, God is the creator of everything, but that inclines more towards Brahma. Or someone says God is all pervasive, and that goes to Lord Vishnu, who's Kirudakshaya Vishnu. Excuse me. The Paramatma, who's all pervasive in every atom and every heart of every living being. I was talking with the Mormons in many years ago. I must have been about in the 1970s, maybe 80s, early 80s. We went to Salt Lake City, which is their world capital. And they have a big exhibition. They take you through. They show you how when you go back to Godhead, you rejoin with your family and you're all together. And you're with the grandmother and the grandson and the great-grandson and it's like maybe this is more like Pitri Loka, where you live with the forefathers who are pious. Then I was trying to find out what is actually their theology, what's their philosophy. So then finally we got someone who would really tell us what was going on here, because we asked, and they said, well, our belief is that every universe has a creator, and he is producing the progeny for the universe. So therefore the original Mormon belief was in polygamy, because they were all like Prajapatis trying to create for the creator of the universe more children and everything. But they don't. There's a breakaway group just got arrested. It was in the papers that they had the primitive primordial Mormons or something, breakaway group. But the mainstream one doesn't practice polygamy now, but they used to. So they said that there's a creator in every universe. He creates the universe, and he has Jesus as his son. So if you're a very pious Mormon, you can become that creator of the universe, and you can have Jesus as your son. So according to their theology, Jesus is son of Brahma. He's the creator of the universe, and he makes all the prajapatis and fills up the planets. And I asked, well, because every universe has one, and there's many universes. So I said, is there like a supreme above that? He said, that's a mystery we don't know yet. So it's interesting how many different ideas are going around. So theirs seems to be that they believe in Brahma, but they don't know about Vishnu. So it's quite... So this Atri Muni was in that kind of a situation. He didn't know exactly who was the Supreme Lord. He knew there was one. There was a Lord of the Universe. So he prayed to the Lord of the Universe, and all three showed up. Because Brahma is the creator, Vishnu is the maintainer, and all-pervasive Lord, and then Shiva is a destroyer. So in one sense, they're all the lords of the universe. So he said, well, I just suspected one. How did I get three? You know, he's like, he was bewildered. So he asked them, and so they explained that, well, we're all non-different. Just yesterday, I was reading a verse where it also was describing how the three of them are not different from an impersonal point of view, as the absolute truth is in three forms. So Brahman is above all this, above the, they're all non-different. Brahman, Vishnu, Brahman comes from Vishnu, and the other two come from Brahman. So that way they're not different also. But Brahma says that actually Vishnu was in the universe first. He was alone. And there was no Shiva and there was no Brahma. Then from Vishnu comes Brahma, and from Brahma comes Shiva. But then they all have some function. In one sense or another, they're all like lords of the universe. And Brahma is more visible than Shiva. very rarely one can see Vishnu. This was the verses of Daksha Muni after he had offended Shiva, and Sati had emulated herself, saying he didn't want to be a daughter of him anymore. And then the followers of Shiva cut his head off and destroyed the whole arena. And then later Shiva came and put the head back on Daksha, although it was a sacrificial goat head, but it was still functioning okay after he was. So he was now had a goat's head and a human body, quite unusual. But he was very grateful that he got his life back and he could continue. So this time he respected Shiva, respected Brahma, respected Vishnu, and Vishnu himself came to the sacrifice. So he was very rare. And then Vishnu explained that actually you should respect all the three because we're all not different. They're also part of me. So that's then it was explained that how he should have respected all. Okay, they have different functions and accordingly they have different forms for creation, annihilation and maintenance. Originally Vishnu is the original. So that's this Atri Muni. Got more than he expected. So Dattatreya, don't know so many, he's more mentioned other Puranas more. And he always see him because he has dogs. So Dattatreya is a great mystic, but he also has pet dogs. Moon god is all the sons of these rishis also considered to be progenitors that help to fill up the universe with very wonderful personalities. So Shankara Durvasa was born. Durvasa Muni is famous because he gets angry easy. In the Mahabharata it said, you know, he went to the Pandavas with his 10,000 disciples and they were expected to be fed. But it came after lunch. It came like in the afternoon, late afternoon. So Draupadi had this special Akshay Patra, a special pot given to her. Well, unlimited food could come from that. Until she ate. Once she ate, then the food was, it just stopped producing for that day. So she could feed, she could have fed 10,000 people, but specifically Duryodhana told him to go at the off time to trick him, to trick that, to try to put the Pandavas in difficulty because if they didn't feed, maybe he'll get angry and curse them. Because he was very quick at cursing. So then she went to Krishna and asked how to get out of this. She sent them all to take a bath in the nearby holy river. Went to Krishna, what is the solution? And then Krishna said, don't you have any food left? He said, well, I don't know. If you have anything left in your pot, bring me a little speck, whatever you have. So she found there was a sabji stuck to the side of the pot. Luckily, they hadn't washed it yet. She brought that to Krishna and he ate it and he felt very full. So because when Krishna feels full and he's the Lord of the universe, so then Durvasa and his followers also felt full, like, oh. When you're full, somebody offers you some more prasad, you know. You don't want to take it because you're full. So because they're all full, they didn't want to go and have a whole big feast served out to them. It would be embarrassing. So they all escaped and just went. And this way the Pandavas were saved. That also shows how, since Krishna is the original soul, therefore if you please Krishna, you get pleased. There's another pastime we tell when we go on the Navadvip Parikrama. This is called Gora Daha. This is where Lord Chaitanya had delivered extraterrestrial from a higher planet who had been cursed by Durvasa Muni to become a crocodile in Navadvip Dham. So there was a small boy, a five-year-old boy, living in Indraloka. So he was having a devas, and that planet lived for millions of years, I guess. I don't know exactly how many years, but a very, very long time. So he was 5 years by their calculation. He was playing in the forest, and he came across this sage with a big matted hair, a yogi, lying down, resting. So he thought, let me play a joke on him. I'll cut off his matted hair. So he cut off his matted hair and then went and hid in the forest and watched the fun. He didn't realize that this was Durvasa Muni. And you don't mess around with Durvasa Muni. So when Durvasa Muni sat up, his head was very light because he had the big matted hair, but it was cut off. So he said, who cut off my hair? I curse whoever cut off my hair. Since they're good at cutting, let them be a crocodile, who is also good at cutting. They have ready cutting teeth. Here in Australia, you have many crocodiles in northern territories, they call it. Dundee, crocodile Dundee is famous. The person who was killed by the mantra ray, he was also many. Steve Owen? Irwin. Yeah, well, we watched on the Discovery Channel here many times. So, and the boy came out and fell at the feet of Durvasa and said, I was just playing around, I'm just a little boy, I don't want to become a crocodile. Please take back your curse. The thing about curses is they're just one way. You can't take them back. But he can adjust them. Like be a crocodile for a day or something. He can adjust. But he had to, once he curses, that's it. You're like stuck. So he was cursed to become a crocodile. So he said, okay, be a crocodile in Navadvip Dham. And then if you touch Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet, then you'll be freed from the curse. So he was living there for yugas, which is not much time for the devas, but for a human being it's a lot of time. It was a long time in Navadvip Dham waiting for Lord Chaitanya to come in Kali Yuga. Then in the Prema Vivarta by Jagadananda Pandit, it mentions this pastime that one day Lord Chaitanya was going on kirtan, and this one cowherd boy came up to him and said, you're my brother. He said, well, how am I your brother? Because I'm a Brahmin and you're a Vaishya, you're a cowherd boy. It's because my mother used to work with Mother Sachi in her house and help with the household duties voluntarily. And your mother called her as her younger sister. So if your mother is my mother is your mother's younger sister, that means we're cousin brothers. They consider like cousin as a brother. So then my mother Malini wants to give you some prasadam, some milk sweets. Since you've been doing kirtan, you must be a little tired, hungry. So please come with us, come with me, and then she'd like to serve you all milk sweets, prasad. So Lord Chaitanya was going with him. They came across, they saw this pond, this big kind of lake. And there were cows mooing and standing by the side. And he said, what's happening here? He said, well, there's a crocodile there, so the cows are afraid of drinking water in case the crocodile leaps out and catches. We recently were in a Bangladesh safari. We had 120 devotees from 25 countries. And one day we took a little diversion, kind of a touristic thing. We went to the Sundarbans, which is one of the famous ecological reserves in the world. And there's tigers, monkeys, and crocodiles, and deers, and other natural life species, whatever, that are protected there. So we went to the crocodile reserve where they reproduce crocodiles and let them in the wild, because somehow the crocodile population has proportionally gone down. And they told us that we saw they had a thing, they throw something into the water and then all of a sudden would leap out from under, you couldn't see anything, just a plain water. They're waiting under the water and they see this thing hit the surface, they jump up and grab it. And they said that one boy, just a few weeks before, it's a kind of a wall around this lake. He said, "There's no crocodile here. Nothing's here." He jumped over the wall and walked by the lake, and all of a sudden the crocodile leaped out and grabbed it, bit off his leg or hand or something, and they had the trainers had to go in and fish him out, and he was pretty seriously messed up. So they asked us, "Please don't cross over the wall." It's interesting. Then somehow, all these Western devotees went into the nearby river, started taking a bath. And then the head of the reserve, he went there screaming at her, "What are you doing? You're crazy. Why are you taking a bath? There's crocodiles and things in here. We don't want to get a foreigner, you know, injured. It'll be a big hassle for us. But you ask her, we ask her if the locals swim here." "Yeah, well, locals do so many crazy things, but a foreigner tourist, we can't let you do this." I don't know what devotees are thinking of. They're all hot all day. They're out riding around boats. Thankfully, nobody got. It wasn't in the. It was out. It was the nearby river near the reserve. So, thankfully, there was a low crocodile population there. So that's why this cow was afraid, because you can't tell. Once the crocodile surfaces, then you know where he is. But when he's underwater, you can't tell where he is. So they told that to Lord Chaitanya. And then Lord Chaitanya had his devotees do a kirtan by the side of the pond. And then the crocodile surfaced, and then huge crocodile. As the one we saw there was only about 16 feet long. But they grow up to 25 feet, apparently. The Gangetic crocodiles have a very narrow snout compared to some have wider in Africa or something. And Ganges Devi, her bahan, her vehicle, like Ganesh rides on a rat and Indra rides on a elephant and Krishna rides on an eagle, Garuda. So she rides on a crocodile, a Gangetic crocodile. So if you see her deity, she's riding on the crocodile. So then we do every year Ganges Puja, which is the day before Gaur Purnima. Then we do the, if anybody has ashes from their deceased relatives, then we, this year we had about 50 people. And then we do the Bisarjan, what do you call that, immersion of the ashes. Following all the rituals, our priest does. He does all the rituals. Takes like over an hour, putting in panchagabhya and mantras. And so you don't just put the ashes and bones in the Ganges. You put mix it with ghee and honey and or ghee and panchamrita with milk, yogurt, ghee, honey, and sugar water. Many devotees appreciate Atmananda is from New Zealand. So he was there with his wife. They had some relatives' ashes. I don't know who, mother, father. That's the closest one I can remember from Australia and New Zealand. So he took them all to the confluence of the Ganges and the Saraswati and put the ashes in, and when we came back to the Jai Prabhupada key, took an old bath on the other side of the river where it's a sloping beach. Then back to Mayapur. So anyway, this crocodile came to the surface and then gradually swam to the edge and leaped out of the water and ran up and touched Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. Lord Chaitanya just stood there. He knew everything. And then he transformed back into a celestial boy. So that was kind of unusual, going Harinam and a crocodile runs up and touches your feet and turns into a little boy from another planet. So that's why it was noted by Jagannatha Pandit. It was like something you thought people should know about. It's not ordinary. So then Lord Chaitanya asked, you know, who are you? How did you get here? And then so he explained the whole history, how he got cursed and was saved now from the curse. And he went around Lord Chaitanya four times and prayed that he could serve him eternally. And meanwhile, his parents came in some kind of a celestial airplane and grabbed their boy by the ear and pulled him back. So he was getting in trouble. Took him back to Indraloka. Then Lord Chaitanya went for the milk sweets. And they served him, you know, rasgulla, sandesh, burfi, rabari, so many different milk sweets. And together, then they went off on their kirtan again. Just one day in the Sankirtan of Lord Chaitanya. So that's connected to Durvasa. I don't know, there may be other things in Navadip that come to my mind right away. Durvasa is pretty famous for his cursing. Of course, we know in the Bhagavatam that Durvasa was cursed to Ambarish. But the curse went back on him because Ambarish hadn't done anything wrong. So then there was this Sudarshan Chakra was chasing the demon he created. And the demon ran away, so they're chasing Durvasa and went all over the universe trying to get forgiven, trying to get saved. Went to Brahma, he said, I can't help you. Went to Shiva, said, nothing I can do against Vishnu Sudarshan. And finally he went all the way to Vishnu and begged him for the forgiveness, take off the Sudarshan. Vishnu said, well, my devotees are very dear to me, and if you commit an offense against the devotee, you have to get forgiven by the devotee. So sent him all the way back to Durvasa. He went there and fell at his feet, said, forgive me for my offense. And Durvasa said, please sit down and take your meal. I've been waiting for a whole year for you to come back to eat, because he was invited as a guest. And he hadn't eaten because this whole thing happened. So everything was worked out. So Durvasa has a partial quality of Rudra, which is anger. One of the aspects of Lord Shiva. So, as far as the moon god, well, we know that the moon puts moonlight adds taste to vegetables and adds nutrition to the vegetables. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was going on a walk one day. He looked up, was looking at the moon, and then he kept staring at the moon, and then the disciples were looking at him, wondering why is he just gazing at the moon. Then he said, you know, now in the moon the people are becoming materialistic. Bahir Mukh, they're turning away from Krishna consciousness. We have to go there and preach to them. So then like the side, that was in 1903 or something. There wasn't even airplanes then. So there, of course, he must have meant traveling by spiritual means, by more mystical means, because if they did go to the moon, they didn't find anybody there. They're not on that dimension where they could see the living entities, so that the moon planet is a heavenly planet and people live in a higher dimension. So We're on a very external dimension here. Another thing, how important it is to do Garbhodhan Samskara. Normally our grihas is supposed to go in the morning and pray to the deities and chant extra rounds and pray for a Krishna conscious child. Atri Muni took it to the extreme where he did, you know, maha tapasya and meditation and yagyas and sacrifices and prayed to the Supreme Lord that he wants a child with his quality. So all the three showed up because he wasn't very specific about who is the Supreme Lord. So he got three children, each with the three qualities of the three lords. So that's a very interesting, but shows our responsibility for the grihasthas to plan a child and have a Krishna conscious sacrifice effort. So there's a given by Gopal Bhatta Goswami in his Samskar Deepika. Garbhodhan Samskara, he was a renunciate, he was one of the six Goswamis, but he took the trouble to write this ceremony for the grihasthas. And that means how important it is. We want to have Krishna conscious children who can carry on the disciplic succession. Carry on the teachings. It says it's important if the third generation. Battery's dying. Third generation of children are born with more natural brahminical qualities. Qualities, so if you can have the parents, children, and then the grandchildren should. Otherwise, like the new devotees, their parents, their grandparents may not be devotees, so they've just taken it, and then their children, grandparents wouldn't be necessarily devotees. The Prabhupada said by the third generation, it starts to get some hereditary Krishna conscious genes, some background. So there's many things to learn from this. Any question, comment? Yes, sir. We can pray to the different demigods or devas for Krishna conscious things. Like the gopis prayed to Katyayani for having Krishna as their husband. I heard from one devotee, he was a Ganesh devotee. He prayed to Ganesh, who is the Supreme Lord? And Ganesh appeared in a dream and opened up his stomach and showed Radha and Krishna. Then one other devotee told me that he went to Assam. He showed the pictures yesterday of Assam about that Rath Yatra with 13 tribal dancers dancing before Lord Jagannath. And in Assam there's a deity called Kamaksha, who's considered one of the very powerful Shakti Pitas or Shakti deities of Durga, that the Vishnu had cut Durga in 64 pieces, cut Kali. And she fell on the earth in different places in the universe. And so one of her pieces, the Yoni, fell in Kamaksha. So, and the Mahabharata said that she was recommended to Narakasura's daughter to take shelter of Krishna and touch his feet. So she's so this one devotee, and he went there, and I mean, he was just a new person, and he didn't know. He wanted to find a bona fide guru. So he saw everybody's praying, give me money, give me power, give me fame, give me a good wife, give me a good life, give me a big house, give me everything material. He said, but I don't want these things. He said, so prayed to her, show me who is a spiritual master, who should I take shelter from, which is the proper parampara. And then Kamaksha appeared to him and showed Prabhupada's disciplic succession. So I had some good experiences with the devas. But if you pray to them for material things, then it's like that's not recommended for devotees. We shouldn't even pray to Krishna for material things, but we can, like a guru's sick or your child's sick or something, you could pray, and if it so pleases you, Krishna, please save my something. But we do tend to just focus on Krishna, but sometimes you can pray to the devas for Krishna conscious blessings. Since my zone is South India, East India, South India is predominantly Shiva, Durga, Ganesh, Kartikeya. So since Kartikeya is the general for the army of the devas who are devotees of Vishnu, so sometimes I pray to him that our Sankirtan army can be successful and giving people love for Godhead, things like that. So Prabhupada said, you know, we bow down to the devas with our right side, because we're really bowing down to Krishna, and all the devas are bowing down front. So our left side, we're meditating on Krishna, and right side is the devas. But Krishna, we bow down with the left side, and the guru straight on. But Prabhupada didn't, you know, here in your temple you have in the four corners some devas. Prabhupada was asked once why he didn't introduce, he said, just want to keep it simple for the Westerners. But where I happened to work, like we were donated in Dhaka, a 2-acre temple, which was mainly destroyed. But there was a Durga, and there was a Kali, and a Shiva deities there, and one guru's samadhi. But the 2 acres in the down in the middle of any city in South Asia or anywhere, there must be millions of dollars. So we establish Jagannath, and we bring the Jagannath Prasad, give it to Shiva and to Kali. So we worship like that, the way they do in Jagannath Puri, where there are many devas, but they all eat Jagannath Prasad, because by the Christian nomenclature, you'd call them angels. But we call them devas in Sanskrit. So we're not supposed to worship them as independent. But since they're great devotees, we can ask for their blessings to serve Krishna. So if people have in their house pictures of deva, maybe they're a bit attached. You can put all the Vishnu tattvas on the top and put the devas below or on one side and have them offer Krishna prasad to the devas. That way it won't be a contradiction with their Krishna consciousness. They should have the relation, the sambandha, who's who, clear. Otherwise, like this Atri Muni, he didn't know who was who. He wanted Supreme Lord at least, so he got all the three. But if someone maybe has a wider parameter, then you'll get the devas too. Demigod chanting.
I'm just saying whatever. I mean,
well, usually we don't chant the names of the demigod like we do the name of Vishnu.
But there is a perception, a general perception.
My life has been made. My life has been made very difficult by some fanatic devotees who preach against the devas. Someone was going in Sri Lanka and preaching in a Ganesh temple against Ganesh. Like, how much more indiscreet can you be? So then to go and patch up and everything. Once I was preaching in these different temples in Sri Lanka, and somebody asked me, "You're always preaching from Bhagavad Puran, Vishnu Puran, Padma Puran. Why don't you preach, you know, something from the Shiva Puran, the Skanda Puran, our Purans, you know?" So then I did a thing, and there was like quotes, 67 or something like that, almost 100 quotes from the two different Puranas, that Krishna name is the absolute truth. There were some quotes I wouldn't dare to. It says you take shelter of a deva. It's like leaving your mother and taking shelter of a witch. I never used that quote. I mean, here I know. That was too heavy. You know? I mean, that was in the Skanda Puran. So in the Skanda Puran, it also says that the two syllables, ha and ri, that when you chant ha, ri, ha, ri, if you chant hari, then Vishnu steals away from you. Everybody gets frightened. Oh no, what did I just do? You know, he steals away all your misfortune, all your suffering, all your contamination. So that your garbage from your life. You know, I think nobody minds someone steals your garbage. You're giving it to be taken. So there's a lot of nice quotes I found from there. So I used a few of them, and then everyone's happy. Okay, Skanda Puran, but it's very nice Vaishnava quotes. Selected by the Goswamis, and did the research for us. So Prabhupada's using these quotes also from these Puranas in his books. I got it from the folio. So we also Bhanu Maharaj was telling me that in the 10 offenses of the holy name, like the second is to consider the names of the demigods to be equal or greater than Vishnu. But he said it also says in some translations, in some verses, that to offend the names of the demigods, that you shouldn't offend them, they're also considered great devotees. So I have a, because where I live and work, I have a much more liberal outlook, but not, there's a line, you know, you can't go beyond that line. You can't just, if you think they're equal, you're praying to Krishna and praying to Vishnu, to the devas, considering them all equal, then it's a problem for your spiritual life. So we shouldn't offend them, but you can pray to them for blessings to be Krishna conscious, something like that. But not, shouldn't pray to them for material things. Then it's like you're compromising your relationship with Krishna. Okay, Pujari is waiting. We're a little overdue here. Thank you very much. We got permission from Prabhupada to put Shiva and Durga in the Vedic planetarium because we are supposed to have Devi Loka and Mahesh Dham, Devi Dham, and then Hari Dham and Golok Dham. So Devi Dham is the material world, that's Durga, and then Shiva Loka is Mahesh Dham. So you have Mahesh there. And then you go to, Vaikuntha is Lord Vishnu and Narayan. And then Goloka is Krishna. So these are the four dhams Prabhupada one time said we can put in the kind of esoteric part of the Vedic planetarium. Prabhupada said when we do Uma Jnana Tivarandasya mantra, that includes Ganesh. So the Sri Vaishnavas were Vishwakshena, who's the general for the for the spiritual, for this Vishnu Loka. And he removes obstacles, and the material people worship Ganesh, and usually the Gaudiya Vaishnava, we worship Guru. Because Guru Sarva Deva Maya Guru, all the devas are within the Guru, so that includes Ganesh and everybody. So when we do a temple inauguration, we do Guru Puja first. We do where the Sri Vaishnavas do a Vishwakshena Puja, and it's an ordinary, like a smarter Brahmin would do Shiva, would do Ganesh Puja. Hare Krishna.